Child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and lamb are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. So bring him in such gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him, the King of kings salvation brings. Let loving heart and song on high, the Virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary, the babe, the Son of Mary.
The stars are brightly shining, it is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Rejoices, for yonder His love and His gospel, this peace. Chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother, and in His name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus ring,
ladies. Let's stand briefly and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Again, thank you for being here on Christmas Eve service. And I do encourage you strongly to be here with us tonight. We'll have great music. It'll be a great atmosphere. Again, we will not be long tonight, today, because I do understand it's Christmas Eve, but it is Christmas is Christ's birthday, so we don't want to forget Him. John chapter number 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the book of John. We'll read a couple of verses at the beginning and a couple in the middle. We'll pray, and then we'll let you be seated. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Let's look down into verse 10. "He was in the world. The world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And let's pray. Father, we do thank You for loving us. We thank You for these few minutes we have this morning. And I pray that You'd help us to get a better glimpse of what Christmas is all about. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you ask people what they feel that Christmas is all about, you'll get several different answers. When we think of Christmas, some people think you get some time off of work. How many of you are getting time off of work, okay? You get a few extra days that you don't normally get. Some people think about gifts. You know, up until Christmas, it's about giving gifts and shopping and fighting the traffic in the malls and trying to find a parking spot and all that nonsense. But on Christmas Day, you actually receive some gifts. Some think about seeing families. their family members. Some unwanted, okay? There was a song when we were at college, right before they would dismiss us for college break, the vice president would sing. I don't remember the words. He kind of made it up. But I do remember one phrase. He says, at Christmas, I hug and kiss my wife's mother. The rest of the year, we don't speak to each other. And so maybe you have some relatives like that, right? Some think of parties, and we've had several parties and fellowships and joy. And, of course, the music. And thank you for all those that sang today, the choirs, the specials, the teens. It was fantastic. But if we're not careful, we miss what Christmas is about. In December 1903, after many attempts, the Wright brothers finally were the first ones to have engine-driven flight. They were excited and thrilled, so they telegraphed this message to their sister, Catherine. It said, on the telegraph, it said, we have finally flown 120 feet. We'll see you, and we'll be back in time for Christmas. Her sister was excited and thought she'd take it down to the local paper so they could get the story. She took the telegram down to the local paper, and she showed the editor, and he read it, and he goes, great, your brothers are going to be home for Christmas. He completely missed the part about the fact that they flew. That's what happens at Christmas time. We have no idea what Christmas is all about. But in these verses, you say, this isn't a Christmas story. Well, it is. It talks about Jesus Christ and why he came to this earth. We typically think of Christmas in Luke or some of the other ones. But this is Christmas verses. You know why? Because it talks about the one who is Christmas, and it's Christ. Christmas is Christ this morning. And so I want us to see that. I want us to understand and think about the one whose birthday it really is. I read a story. There was a lady, she was at a restaurant with her friend, and they were celebrating something, and she saw a friend, and she came by and said, hey, what are you, it's good to see you here. What's going on? What are you ladies celebrating? She goes, oh, you know, we're celebrating the birth of my brand new child. The lady looked at her and said, well, where is the baby? She goes, oh, well, you didn't think we would bring the baby, did you? And that's kind of how we are with Christmas. We celebrate Christmas, but we don't celebrate Christ in our hearts. And really, he is the one Christmas is all about. So I want you to notice three things this morning in these verses very briefly. First of all, I want you to notice Christ before his birth. These verses talk to us about Jesus Christ before he ever came to this earth. And by the way, Jesus lived before he ever came to this earth. Jesus did not start to exist on that day he was born in Bethlehem. He always existed. And we need to understand who he really is. Jesus Christ, first of all, it tells us that he's eternal. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, when you read those words in the beginning, what does that remind you of? Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, long before there was a heaven and an earth, there was Jesus Christ. He was there. He has been forever. There never was a time that Jesus wasn't, and there will never be a time when Jesus isn't. That makes sense. I don't even know if that's good English. Jesus always was. Let's not just think, by the way, that's where some of the cults get it wrong and some of these people get it wrong. They just think, well, he was a good man that walked on the face of the earth. No, he was more than that. He was God. He's always existed. He's eternal, but he is also the creator. Look at verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that was made on this earth, Jesus had a part in creation. By the way, that means evolution is a myth. There's a reason they call it the theory of evolution. And it's a bad theory at that. It's a fairy tale for adults. It's not true. There's nothing true about it. There's not one thing to prove it. Really, nothing, out of nothing exploded and created everything. Look, I don't know about you, but I think believing that there's a God who created us is a lot easier than believing that story. And they talk about, well, and then there was this primordial ooze. Where'd that come from? And then there was a lightning strike, and there was a simple cell that was created. There's no such thing as a simple cell. A human cell is so complicated, it could never have come into play by itself. Jesus Christ was the creator. He also is life. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. By the way, Paul knew that. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, if you're a Christian, your life ought to be about Jesus Christ. Amen. He ought to be your life. He ought to be your everything. See, what we try to do is we try to take him and just add him to our life. Here he is. I got this going on in my life. I've got this going on in my life. I'm this. I'm that. Oh, yeah, and I also have Jesus. No, no, no. Jesus is life. The rest of your life is the spokes that are supposed to come out from Jesus if you think of it like a wheel. But Jesus is life. What is your life? It ought to be Jesus Christ. And then also, he's the light. Look at verse 5. And the light shineth into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. By the way, the time into which Jesus was born was a very dark time. But aren't you glad that in dark times that we have light? Amen. Without the light of Christ, we have all kinds of troubles. We don't see what's going on. We don't see the nonsense. Many years ago, I was doing something downstairs in the fellowship hall, and I had to go, I think, to the computer room, and I forgot to flip the lights on. I thought, I can see, you know, enough in the dark. And I was walking, and then next thing I know, I was laying on the ground. But those, they have the little speakers down there on the floor for the Filipino ministry, and they're dark. They're the same color, and you can't see them in the dark. I found them, okay? Found them real well. If I would have just turned the light on, I would have known they were there. There's a lot of things that are darkness in this world. There were a lot of things before I met Christ that were darkness in my life. But thank God, he's the light of the world. And when the light shone in my heart, I saw the things which weren't good for me. I saw life. Everything about life has light. Now it has meaning. Now it has purpose. Why? Because he is the light. Jesus Christ, before his birth. Someone said, when it comes to eternal life, there was an old evangelist, John R. Rice, and someone threatened, they didn't like the way he preached, and so they wrote him a letter, and they threatened to kill him if he preached again at this revival meeting. And he got up at the revival meeting the next night, and he read the letter and told him. He said, let me just tell you something right now. You can't threaten me with heaven.
Yeah, come on.
Okay? The light shines in our life. We see things clearly. That was Christ before his birth. Now let's look at Christ at his birth. What happened when he was born? Well, that's the day we celebrate. You say, was Jesus really born on December 25th? Probably not. But it doesn't matter when he was born. That's just the day we choose to celebrate it. But his birth was a big deal. There's been a lot of things that have happened on this earth. But the greatest thing that ever happened was that morning when Jesus Christ came into this earth. That's a big deal. I want you to notice several things about his birth. He was born like us. And the Word was made flesh. Something we need to understand. Jesus Christ, as we mentioned earlier, was 100% God, but he also was 100% human and flesh in his body that he took on when he was born. He was 100% God, but yet he was clothed in 100% flesh. Martin Luther said the mystery of the humanity of Christ, that he sunk himself into our flesh, is beyond all human understanding. Why would God, as evil and sinful as this world is, take on human flesh? Why would he do that? Well, we know he did it for our salvation. The Creator became part of his creation. What we need to understand, his birth was a fulfillment of prophecies. Enough of them, if you think about it, that the greatest skeptic, if they did truly think about it, would become a believer. In a book called Science Speaks, the author, Peter Stoner, applies the modern science of probability. What are the odds that something could just happen? To just 8 prophecies regarding Christ that were fulfilled in him. Now, by the way, there's many more prophecies that were prophesied about Christ that were fulfilled. He just took 8. Here's the chance, or the probability. The chance that any man might have fulfilled all 8 prophecies is 10 to the 17th power. Now, you say, what does that mean? Let me. That would be 1 in 100 quadrillion. That's a 1 with 17 zeros after it. Okay? Let me make this understandable, what those odds are. If you took silver dollars and you filled the state of Texas with silver dollars 2 feet thick, and one of the silver dollars was painted pink, that would be your odds. That would be the same odds as 1 in 17 quadrillion. By the way, Texas is a big state. That's the probabilities of Jesus Christ just fulfilling 8 prophecies. People say, well, you know, he set out to fulfill those prophecies. I know, he made his mom and dad go to Bethlehem to be born. He made his mom and dad take him into Egypt when they were seeking to kill him. And made him be raised in Nazareth. Okay, no, it doesn't make any sense. What makes sense is he was born like us and he fulfilled the prophecies. He lived among us. It says, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of God, of the Father. He lived in flesh among us, but there's one huge difference. He did it perfectly. Jesus Christ never, ever, ever sinned. And the God of the universe came to be our Savior. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter number 2, let me read some verses 5 through 8. He says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Now he's going to tell us about Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The old English way of saying he was in the form of God, he was God in the flesh, but he thought it wasn't something he was trying to grasp while he was on the earth, that he was God. He didn't come down here to say, hey, I'm God on this earth. No, he purposely came for another reason. Philippians is going to tell us, verse 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, and being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. Jesus Christ had a purpose in his life on this earth. You know what that was? To be a servant, to humble himself, and allow the Creator to be put to death by his creation. Yep. Right. For our sins. What are the Christmas songs we sing? You say, well, it's not a typical Christmas song I hear. Born to die upon Calvary. Jesus Christ, from the moment he became flesh, the clock was ticking until that day that he would willingly allow himself to be crucified and die for our sins. Jesus didn't die because he wasn't fast enough to get out of there. There are times you read in the gospel where the crowds went after him and said Jesus just walked away. Why? Because it wasn't his time yet. But he willingly came. He lived his life for us. So that's Jesus at his birth, and I want you to notice Christ after his birth. What did he do? Well, other than the fact that he died for our sins, he came to teach us something. He came to teach us 2 things. The Bible says we beheld his glory full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, after his death, came to teach us, after his birth, came to teach us about grace. His whole life was about grace, about dying for us. By the way, you say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I kind of deserve that. Actually, you don't. You deserve nothing. I deserve nothing. Yeah. Okay. You say, but by the way, we like to compare ourselves to others, right? Charles Manson recently passed away. Well, compared to Charles Manson, I'm a pretty good guy. That's not our comparison. Our comparison is the holiness and the righteousness of God. Guess what? We don't get there. But his grace allows us to get there. Grace. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Christmas is about gifts, right? It is about gifts. Jesus came to give us the gift of eternal life, and that comes through Jesus Christ. The sad thing is, in my Sunday school class, we've been teaching about different aspects of grace, because grace isn't just for salvation. Grace is for after salvation. So many of us trust Christ, or we know Christ and we know salvation, but we miss what comes with salvation. When we were part of the church plant in Monterey Park, and so there's a lady, she used to come to our church here, Lisa Rodriguez, and she's at the church, and she lives up in L.A. She's part of the church in Monterey Park. It's funny. We would do the Christmas exchange. Your Christmas parties do it. I hope it doesn't start fights, you know, where you get a gift and you can steal from other people. How many of you know what that's all about? By the way, be a Christian when your class does that next year, okay? Don't get upset if you get a good gift and they steal it from you. But she would bring some gift, and it wasn't real fancy or whatever, and people would get it. No one would want it. I remember the first party they did it, and someone got stuck with her gift, and it wasn't bad, but it wasn't anything anybody wanted. And we were all done, and we're cleaning up. She goes, hey, who got this gift? I forget what it was. She goes, look a little deeper inside there. And they started looking, and she would have like a $20 bill in there. She would hide it. They didn't know it, but inside that gift they got, not one they probably did not want to get, there was another gift inside of there that they could have missed. That's kind of how grace is. We think of grace and we get the gift of God's salvation, but we don't realize wrapped up in salvation is a whole lot of good stuff because of God's grace. That's because of Christ. And then he teaches us about full of grace and truth. You know, God doesn't ignore truth. Yeah. If God ignored truth, then he wouldn't have had to come to die for our sins. Well, you know, they've violated my laws. They've sinned. They've done all this. I'll just let it slide. God didn't let it slide. He never lets sin slide. But what he did do is said, I'll pay your price for you. But that does not absolve us from the fact that we need the truth of God's word. People don't like truth anymore. Right? We hide from it. We're okay with everything. We're okay with you having an opinion, as long as your opinion is not different from my opinion. Then if it is, I don't want to hear it. I'm all for tolerance. I'll tolerate your beliefs as long as they're exactly my beliefs. That's not how truth works. Truth is truth. And Jesus perfectly mixed the two together. The truth of God was that we were sinners. We were on our way to hell, and we deserved hell. But the grace of God said, let me balance that out and die for your sins. There's a balance for everything. And he perfectly balanced grace and truth. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying it's Christmas. Let's not forget Jesus Christ. By the way, if you're a Christian, that's one reason you need to get in your Bibles. You need to know what God is all about, what he is like, and you need to know what Jesus Christ is like. Okay, oh, you know, I know, he's just my Savior. Hey, there's more to it than that. Yeah, I know, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. There's more to salvation than that. And there's more to Christmas. Christmas, do all the things. I hope you do everything. Eat too much, okay? Look, you're going to have a huge meal tomorrow, and then 4 or 5 hours later, you're going to do it again. Okay, and that's that. You ought to do that. When your family comes over, hug your wife's mother, and then take the rest of the year off, okay? Have a great time. Do the presents. Act goofy. Drink coffee. Whatever you're going to don't drink. Drink coffee, okay? Just gave away one of our secrets, man. But let's remember, not just tomorrow, but let's remember all year long. Jesus did give us a gift on Christmas. It's not just one day. It lasts forever. Let's all stand together.